The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. The broadcast is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Broadcast. The beautiful game from her point of view. Amy, Shireen, Signe, Claire, Rhea, just to name a few. Broadening perspectives, horizons, and minds. You're tuned into the broadcast on Footy Prime.
These merchants of badassery.
Hey, pal. Bye.
Bye. Recording start.
Recording started. Yeah, I agree with that sentiment expressed by that sound effect. That's my favorite thing that you do, Signe Butler. But I'm Amy Walsh, and Signe Butler is here. And this is a fireside chat broadcast today because we're missing our partner in crime and Shireen Ahmed, who is touring Japan and is putting pause on being a sports journalist and is just reviewing food.
Yes.
In Japan currently, which I am enjoying as well. So follow Shireen Ahmed for all of
We're missing the salt today.
Yes.
We are your other accoutrements, but Shireen is getting plenty of salt, believe me,
yes,
in some of those packaged foods in Japan. So
yeah, and all the umami flavor. That's what Shireen is, you know? She rounds everything out.
She does.
That's what umami flavor is. Like, as a vegan, it's
the ultimate compliment, I think.
Yeah, it's the nutritional yeast, it's the Parmesan cheese, it's the soy sauce, it's all the things that we reach for to make our meals complete. That is Shireen Ahmed. Soy lecithin? What did you call it? Lechin?
I don't know how to say it. Like everything. And I'm like, is this good for me?
I don't know. And it's in everything. Yeah, that is my, I know how to pronounce it because I study nutrition and dietetics.
Okay, well then I should have asked you first before embarrassing myself.
No, that was amazing. We're totally leaving that in. So this is the broadcast. And like I said, it's the two of us, Dubs and Sigs today coming at you with everything you need to know that just happened in week three of NSL action. So we only saw two matches happen. So we had the Halifax Tides and the Calgary Wild Idol this week. And so it feels like ages ago, but we will start. I'll do a little score roundup because thanks to the league, we've got these lovely graphics in the purple and the green. And so it started midweek last week. So we're coming at you. This is Tuesday, May 12th. So last Wednesday saw the Ottawa Rapid roll the lowly, unfortunately, Vancouver Rise. So our defending champions are struggling early on in the season. They've conceded 11 goals. They looked up to it at Champions Night at Swangard to start the season off, but that's two consecutive 4-0 losses for the Rise. So they have a big hole to climb out of. And then the second match, Sigs, you were on the call for this one with Jessica Lisi, friend of the show. We'll have to have Lisi on.
Yeah, totally.
I don't know why she's not here. Lisi should be on here today filling in. I'm sure she would have done an admirable job filling in for our own Shireen Ahmed, but saw the Roses a late goal by red hot Elise Bennett for the Montreal Roses. And the curse continues for AFC Toronto at BMO Field. And according to Jonathan Osorio, captain of Toronto FC, a torn up BMO Field. So that's a beautiful pitch to play on. I was never fortunate enough to get to play on that pitch during my career, but it's a glorious one, so I've heard, but it's had a lot of action on it recently.
Yeah, and it's a pitch that everybody loves playing on. My intrepid husband sent me an article about how they redid the grass for FIFA and all the scientific names for the types of grass that they use to...
Oh, right.
To like this,
like bluegrass, seagrass.
Well, it's like specific grass, like FIFA approved grass.
Sure.
But yeah, no, it was because the game, you know, the day before was Inter Miami and Toronto FC.
And then the Legends match, which
Legends match.
Times own Jimmy Brennan on his birthday, no less, who scored a pen and had happy birthday sung to him by 35,000 people. But those guys, who must be said, are some of them in good nick, but most of them a lot heavier than their playing days. They tore up that pitch. But actually, I'm going to interrupt you for a second because BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime and the broadcast. So we'll get into it. Anything more about the pitch and the surface?
No, nothing else. I was on the pitch before the game, after the game.
But wait, you guys were on site.
We were on site at BMO, which was, well, I mean, can I just give a little prelude into my day on Sunday?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Which might be a preview for everybody who is lucky enough to enjoy being live at this World Cup, you know, where Toronto has these six matches, Vancouver has a little bit more, but it's going to be a nightmare getting
to. It's going to be like, listen, people, like, I listen, like, I know that there was some things going on in Toronto this weekend, like the Don Valley Parkway was shut down. Mm-hmm. Part of line two on the subway was shut down. Oh, there was a 10K race that cut off Yonge Street from the east end of the city and Front Street, so nobody could turn left onto the lakeshore to get to BMO Field. So yours truly, who lives in the east end, if anybody knows Toronto, it was on me. You know, I forgot about where the route was for the 10K. So I went into downtown, like about a billion other people, because none of us obviously read the news or anything like that. I drove around. So I left my house at 9:45, giving myself plenty of time for the 1 p.m. You know, I usually like to be there about 2.5 hours, 3 hours before a match.
Yeah.
And I live, for the record, 30 minutes max from BMO Field. So I drove around downtown for 1 hour. I called my husband. I was like, you need to find out. Go on. You know, I couldn't get on my maps or whatever to see where I could get.
Yeah.
You need to find out if, like, I'm going to drop the car here. I'm going to get on the subway. I'm going to go to Bathurst. I'm going to Uber from Bathurst. I'm going to, like.
You need solutions.
And he's like, you need to go to, like, car. You need to go to back to the east end. You need to go back to the east end. You need to go further east and get on the lakeshore there. So I did that. It was jammed. Like, it was red on the map. I called my producer, which, like, I'm breaking down I'm never late. Like, I am never, never late. So I'm so late that I can't do the
player. I can vouch for you there. Yes.
You can vouch for me. I'm always the first one in.
Mm-hmm.
And so
very punctual.
Jess had to do the player interviews, which was great. Cause, like, hello, Jess Lisi knows every single player in this league. She either played with them or played against them. So, like, they're like, oh, hey, Jess, what's going on? So it was probably a better player interview in the long run anyway. I had to do that. And she was like, am I going to have to do play by play? Kevin's like, no, Cigna's got plenty of time. Cause this
is, which is a nightmare for any analyst.
Oh my gosh. Oh yeah. Any analyst
cannot do play by play.
Yeah. It's, anyway. So, and then Kevin's brainstorming, he's like, maybe there's somebody in the crowd that knows how. Anyway, I got there an hour before the game. We were able to run through our pregame. It was fine, but that's not my ideal preparation. Obviously I was prepared before I left for the match, but I like to be there. Especially when you're on site, it's a rarity that we get to be on site these days.
I know, it's so fun.
And so, like, to see the players and the coaches before match and just sort of have a little nod and you know, maybe a quick word, that's worth a ton of information for us as broadcasters, right? But anyway, so if you are coming for the FIFA World Cup, please give yourselves at least give yourself a half day, bring yourself some snacks.
Yep.
And know that there's probably going to be a crap ton of security that you're going to have to deal with as well around BMO Field. So, just be ready for it. That's all. I don't anticipate that all of those arteries will be shut down and there'll be a 10K taking up half the city, but you just never know in the city of Toronto. This is all
right. But there will be fan fests, which will be great for accessibility to an event, which has priced many people out, but it does mean lots of bodies, you know, lots of maybe areas that are cordoned off and blocked off. So yes, just leave yourself a lot of time.
Yes.
Do it. So do the football. So we'll start midweek. So an Ottawa Rapid team who lost their opener away at Wanderers Ground. The Tides looked terrific. They looked a little bit disjointed, but my goodness, Cigna Butler, have they gotten things back on the rails?
And I think that was sort of the messaging from Katrina Peterson. Their manager was like, you know, it's okay. It's game one. Like, it wasn't our best effort, but I didn't see anything that concerns me. I'm ready for the next game. And I know a lot of the storyline at the top of the season was, okay, how are they going to manage without that defensive double pivot in the midfield? We've you know, beaten it over the head. We've drilled it home that the loss of Desi Scott and Ellen Gibson was going to be a big one because they've got like first year midfielders coming in, right? Essentially first year into the NSL, in the case of Mellon Horst and Waite, and in the case of Jung, has played professionally in Korea. And then you've got Mina Lee. So you do have some experience there, but man, we've seen them come alive in the last two matches. It's been a real treat to watch. I think Mellon Horst is I saw glimpses of her at the Wanderers grounds where I was like, ooh, okay. Like I can see, you can see that she's got something going on. Again, they don't play a lot on grass as well. Like that's another thing too, right? Wanderers grounds, grass pitch. So just getting used to the surface and the bounces and all that kind of stuff. But like, wow. You know, I think that she has been a head turner this season and links really well. Like it's almost seamless. Like the chemistry in that midfield is really good. It's very like one touch or one touch out of feet. Like there's no time wasted in that midfield at all. And they're finding those channels and it's really exciting to watch. Mina, I know she only played a half, but I thought she was alive. Mm-hmm. And when Mina's alive, I think the team is alive. So
yeah, it's the spark. It's the connecting piece that really makes them fluent attacking wise. But I think you're seeing Mellon Horst is just another weapon to contribute to that attacking thrust and the pairing. What I'm seeing, like you mentioned Jung, and you mentioned Mellon Horst, her coming out party was the previous match on her birthday where she got the brace versus the Wild when they won 5-2 and there were six goals in the first half. Like that was insane. We were waiting to call the next match on the docket and we kept hearing like hooping and hollering from Daniela and Lisi coming from the little booth, like what's meant to be a soundproof, but we're like, what is happening in this game? Right. So probably a little bit more wide open defensively than Katrina Peterson would have wanted, but that the midfield pairing there with Jung and Mellon Horst, I think it's so complimentary. Like I had Jung just in my 11, but gets bumped out. We'll go to our best 11 from week three, where it was just the two of us, Sigs. We didn't have Shireen contributing and adding to maybe confusion or lots of players that we wanted to shout out.
But we're contributing eight strikers.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Inverting the pyramid, quite literally. But I think that the balance that they have in there is really interesting. And yes, it's early going in this sophomore season, but it looks really, really promising. And I think that this is a young player in Mellon Horst who contributes two assists, I believe, as part of that 4-0 victory. And we'll get to, like, for me, what was the biggest storyline from this game in DB Pridham finally getting off the mark, the Golden Boot winner in year one, getting off the mark in year two. But I think Mellon Horst really looks like she's got a high ceiling. And Casey Stoney probably has her eye on her because the midfield for Canada, I think you have players who have come to the fore. You have Jessie Fleming, who's maybe dipped a little bit in form, looks a lot better through two windows. You have Julia Grosso playing some of her best football in a really long time. But I think you need more competition in there and you need more depth. So we'll get to that a little bit later. But DB Pridham, I mean, you saw that connection as well. I mean, Mellon Horst playing provider, driving into the space, the players converging centrally. She lays it off to Adamek to open the scoring. But then the two goals that you saw Pridham score are almost like, you know, nightmare fuel for the opponents, but basically right where she left off last year.
And the type of goal that we're used to see, the goals that we're used to seeing DB score. And I think we saw like a little glimmer that it was coming in the previous match. And I'm just thinking of like, I don't know how you would just, I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it for our listeners out there if you didn't catch the game, but like getting the ball on like almost like a half turn and just striking it, not no touch, just like, I know where I am. I'm on the half turn and I'm just going to like put a laser on this thing. And that was her opening goal. And the second one, just one touch and just, you know, top left corner. Not to switch gears, but Marco Milanovic, AFC Toronto's manager, was talking about Kaylee Hunter and sort of that national team like drought, you know, not jinx. What was his wording for it? But basically, like, you go on national team duty, you have a specific role, you're doing a lot of traveling, you're going to Brazil, you're coming back from Brazil, you're getting re-acclimated.
Almost like a slump, right?
Slump. Is that how we refer to it? National team slump. That was his words. And that, you know, Kaylee Hunter's kind of experiencing a little bit of that right now. We'll talk about that game later. But like DB broke out of the slump. Like she's back. Like I think it takes you a while, like especially when you're doing that kind of travel and that kind of also focus that you need to have on a national team when you're trying to be in the conversation for 2027 in the World Cup to like, okay, that's over with. Compartmentalize that, put it aside, and then come back into the club environment and be like, okay, I'm back. And she, you saw it in the second game. Like you could see she was coming alive, like no worries, it's going to happen. And then, you know, the brace.
Yeah, I think you make a really good point there. As a player, part of your growth, part of your progression is those learnings and riding out those ebbs and flows and acquiring new skill, the self-awareness of going into an environment where it's maybe a notch above where you're used to being and you're pushing yourself out of your comfort zone. You almost have to dip before you rise back up again. And so I think we're seeing that with Kaylee Hunter. And again, we're gonna come back to this. I don't want to go off DB Pridham right away. But with Hunter, there's just something that's missing in the final third with her decision-making and with her touch, because you're seeing her have influence in other areas of the pitch. The way that she reads the game, the way that she receives the ball, technically, you know, she's very, very good. But it's just that last action where it's almost like she's in her head a little bit too much. And with Pridham, I mentioned to Katrina Peterson on a couple of calls, because I've called two Ottawa games now, that, you know, she can talk about her forever and she never tires of talking about her, because she, you know, she talks about her attitude. She talks about raising the standard, her own, but of everybody around her, how hungry and humble she is. But I think physically you look at DB Pridham and the way that she moves off the ball, she's always had really clever movement in the box, but also trying to get in behind, playing off that shoulder of the defender, checking back, linking up, and then creating space for others. But this year, it just looks like she's operating on a different level. She's just got like another gear that she's found. So the fact that you mentioned, Stigs, that she had yet to score in her first two games, I was not worried. And neither was Katrina Peterson, because she's doing everything right at an accelerated speed.
So tenacious.
Yes.
Like, she's like, so tenacious in everything that she does.
Yes. And so the incision, the way that she moves with conviction in the box, and then she has this natural clinical ability as well. So you see it in those two goals, as you mentioned, like just turning, swiveling onto that left foot, burying that ball. Like there's no chance for McCaslin. But DB knows exactly where she is, even though she's back to goal. So it's a beautifully weighted ball. She doesn't have to do much to it. And then the second one, it's the touch with her left foot, put her on her right, and then she roofs it. Mm-hmm. So it's just, again, raising the standard. And I think there's going to be a really great battle for Golden Boot, because it's Elise Bennett who is dropping the gauntlet, and she's on four goals already this year. So why don't we use that? Did you want to talk any more? I mean, I just think that Ottawa, that was a really dominant, comprehensive performance at home. And then they will be back at home this week, midweek. So I mentioned we're Tuesday. So Wednesday sees Ottawa welcome Halifax to TD Place for a midweek battle. And then upcoming this weekend, I will be on with Sigs and Kate McKenna on the TSN match, which is Calgary welcoming the Roses, who are high flying, haven't dropped a point yet. And then the Monday match to kick off, I guess that'll be week five action, will be the Halifax Tides welcoming. So they get a little bit of a quick turnaround Wednesday, Monday, after getting a bye week this week. They welcome the struggling Vancouver Rise to Wanderers grounds. So did you have anything else to say to kind of wrap up the Ottawa Vancouver? We haven't talked about Vancouver.
Okay. So to wrap up Ottawa, I would say one of my favorite things was seeing them, like including DB, riding the Zamboni.
Oh yeah. For the charge.
The charge.
Yeah.
Match. Anyway, it's great. So go check that out if you haven't, but just like,
and I think I want to look out for now for like the admins on social media for each of these two clubs to welcome the charge back to TD Place because somebody was throwing out like a tractor ride or something, or like whatever the equivalent would be.
Yeah, who was it? I don't know.
It was Florence Belzile was maybe talking about it, or
Caitlin.
Yeah, Caitlin's great, by the way, on socials.
Yeah, so you got to, anyway, check it out. The tractor, what was it called? The tractor.
Can't remember.
Okay, sorry, Ottawa.
Ottawa rapper. Fans.
I got a hoot out of it. I was laughing, but.
I love these crossovers, like the support that you're seeing.
The crossover's coming.
Yes.
And as for Vancouver, like, oh man, I do think there's some championship hangover. I really do. I don't think this is dire straits. I think they look a little uninspired right now, but I don't think it's dire straits. There's too much talent on this team. There's players that are injured right now. They have a tough schedule to open up the season. A lot of things on the road. So don't be worried. I think you'll see them straighten out the ship and rise.
There we go. There it is. Yeah, I concur. I think that they will climb out of this slump. It's always difficult, I think, mentally to open up a season like this, especially when you're the defending champs. But they do have a lot of injuries and a lot of players who are leaders that are going to come back that are going to help them to actually ride the ebbs and flows and especially more difficult, challenging times. And what you pull from those 2-4-0 defeats is that they started well. Like there was a good opening little spell in the first half and a good opening spell to start the second half. But whenever they're in a game and it gets transitional in nature, they get way too stretched and they're way too exposed. So they need to solve that. If they're going to play a high press like they did at Stade Boreal, they got carved wide open. If they're going to continue to apply that high press and you have triggers, you have the tireless Annabout, who's had a very bright start to the season, Quinn trying to marshal that midfield. But when your team parts are, there's holes.
Yes.
You can't effectively apply a press. So either sit back in a mid block and say, we'll get to that once we figure it out, or everybody has to be working together in concert in order to apply the press. Cause it was much too easy for both the Roses and for the Rapid to just absolutely annihilate them and just go right down the gut. And so much space for Mina, so much space for Mellenhorst, and so much space off the front line to just turn and then go at the back line.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. To the match that you covered, my friend. So a late goal by the Roses saw this winless streak continue, unfortunately, for AFC Toronto.
Yeah, so I mean, you kind of like, I know Marko Miljanovic can't stand this question at this point, but everybody's just like, you know, it's like a storyline, you know, they haven't won yet, right? They have a draw and losses, right? Like it might just be a jinx after all. To his point, I don't think they hit the woodwork the other day, but they have hit about 8 or 9 posts, I think, or crossbars at BMO Field. It's coming. They love playing there. You could see it on the players' faces when they're playing. Mm-hmm. They love that environment. But, you know, like ultimately it's 3 points. So you need those 3 points. And they had opportunities. They had a lot of opportunities, especially in the opening half, where it was really tilted in Toronto's favor, I thought. Trouble converting, but not to take anything away from Anna Karpenko and her positioning and the way she owns the box. They couldn't solve her. They could not solve Anna Karpenko. 3 clean sheets on the season.
I don't want to, again, jump off the mark here prematurely, but the same discussion and the shouts perhaps for Mellenhorst, maybe a young Olivia Chisholm who will be playing a U20 World Cup this year, like, does she deserve or does she merit a senior call-up at some point? Even though I think with the World Cup and Olympic qualifying happening in November, maybe it doesn't happen this year, but I think pushing, knocking at the door, that's always good things. But Anna Karpenko, last year what dogged her after a really promising beginning to the season, you remember the Roses came in, smash and grab, withstood tons of pressure from AFC, not unlike this latest contest, Sigs, and Karpenko was masterful. there were some mistakes, some howlers, some poor decision making that kind of brought her down or back down to earth a little bit. So if she's able to mitigate those errors and keep this streak alive, I don't think you can keep like three clean sheets and keep going that way. But who knows at this point with the, you know, the defensive prowess in front of her, like she might be turning Casey Stoney's head for an inclusion to the women's national team.
I don't see why not. She was called in back in 2024, right? For She Believes, I think, in a camp. So yep. Like she's on the radar. She's mm-hmm. absolutely on the radar. And she's a very athletic keeper. Her distribution's, I think, great, aside from, I think, a few blips last year which were she was a little cavalier and maybe a little too confident. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, as a shot stopper, as a sweeper keeper, I think she's very capable, and she's 24. So what's the harm? You know, I always say, like, what's the harm? Aside from, like, I know there's limited numbers in camp and stuff like that. And Mel Dagenais has been called in there, and Dagenais has been great as well. Like, I think that you have two great keepers in the NSL that are deserving of call up into camp. And that's, Dagenais and Karpenko for me. Mm-hmm. What else for?
I was going to say, if you
don't two halves.
Yeah. Tale of two halves. And also for AFC, their attack is almost for this season, before Esther's injury and after Esther's injury. They look like an attack that is missing their talisman, that's missing the connecting piece.
You're not wrong. I think it looks very different, and it's no disrespect to the other players that have sort of tried to step into that role, because I thought Lauren Rowe, when she came in for Esther in their previous game, I thought she was very bright. And
I agree.
We were on that game, I think, together.
Yeah, that scoreless draw versus the Tides.
But like, she was very, very good from her first touch of the match. And not that she wasn't on Sunday, but I think Esther provides something different, right? Like, she is such a threat up front in a bunch of ways. So like, back to goal as a target. She holds up the ball so well. She also can turn defenders. She can go at defenders. Her free kick prowess, you know, the fact that she takes attention from other players, like, people have to pay attention to Esther. And it's not just usually one player. It's usually multiple players that she's occupying. So that opens up things for Kaylee Hunter. It opens up things mm-hmm. For other players, right? For Stratagakis, for Zoe Burns, for Colby Barnett. It opens up things for everybody, right? So I think that's a big loss. And it's 6 weeks minimum.
Yeah, so minimum, meniscus.
Right? So yeah, it's mm-hmm. meniscus. I'm not sure. Like, I think she's due to play some games as well with Nigeria. So I'm not sure how the timeline's looking for that as well. I think in June. So, you know.
Yeah, she might be returning just before she has to leave to go play in the WAFCON with Nigeria.
And we're hoping, you know, she is a delight to call, like, a call a game with Esther in it, because you mm-hmm. don't know what's going to happen. She does so many brilliant things. She does so many brilliant things, and it's not just the attacking stuff that she does. It's, you know, she provides some games, like, it's, I feel, you know, it's a massive loss. And Marco was very frank about that at the news conference this week, just said, it's a massive loss. And I think it affects the team deeply from a mental perspective. Mm-hmm. So they need to get over that. They have lots of talent on that team. And it's about grabbing it. Like, your opportunity's here. You got to grab it. Nobody really grabbed it and ran with it on Sunday. That's not to say that the next game somebody is not going to.
Yeah, but you're right about the halves, where the first half you saw extremely dominant AFC Toronto, the Roses, who are so good defensively, just absorbing that pressure. And then they were ready to pounce and to strike in the second half, where it was almost like an exchange of blows and like a heavyweight fight, right? Where it was only 1-0. You only had that goal by Bennett, but it's the moment of brilliance that the match was desperately calling out for. And before that, it was not only a battle and really open and transitional, but it was big save after big save. Krasaniak, am I saying your name right?
Krasaniak, yeah.
Krasaniak versus Karpenko. In for an injured Cody Yard was Krasaniak. And boy, did she deliver. Do you think we have a battle on our hands right now for number one?
Well, right now, I mean, if Cody Yard's injured, I don't know how long, what her status is there in terms of timeline. But yeah, I mean, I think that Krasaniak's, if I can say this, like just a little bit more, like they have all three keepers have good size. Like they're all, I think, in the 6 feet range, maybe a little bit above that. Sophia Manor, I think, might be like 6'1". But Krasaniak's quite athletic, I think.
Yes.
Positioning wise, I think she needs a little bit of work. I think she could have done better on that Bennett goal, I think.
I agree. And but I have to say,
she did make some other saves in the game.
Huge saves that I
full props to. But I think on the positionally on the Bennett goal, but I mean, that's film. That's film. That's practice. That's,
and you know, it's what? Reps, played, right? Getting the game time.
This is just her second game in the NSL. She played one game last season, one game this season. So, you know, it's real time game stuff that you learn from.
Yeah. But instinctively, like coming out at the right time, like we see Cody Yard, like playing that super keeper role. You talked about Karpenko doing that. Cody Yard, that's a strength of hers. But then the shot stopping, the positioning when she's kind of deep in her net and closer to her goal line, a lot of work to be done there. But Krasaniak, before that, she came up with a big save on Bennett and then another huge save. I can't remember who it was on, but like two grade A opportunities snuffed out by the fact that she was charging out of her line or off of her line and able to intervene. So that was good to see. But somebody I thought here, I mean, the Rose, again, just off the mark, brilliant start to this year. They look almost unbeatable, but I thought we would go to our best 11 and talk a little bit more about somebody else who got injured. So this is another injury dealt to Milanovic and AFC Toronto in Sarah Stratagakis. Like for me through 3 weeks has been the best player in NSL.
I'm trying to think of somebody who might be.
Maybe it's between she and Bennett.
She and Bennett. Mellenhorst is up there, I think.
Yep.
Minas is up there.
Mm-hmm.
For consistency. Sarah Stratagakis, if you caught the game on the weekend, just the way that she moves off the ball, like her technical ability, I think is like, it's so good that you almost don't notice how good it is. I don't know whether that gives it justice, but like her technical ability is so good that she can make things happen like quickly, like snap of a finger, running off the ball, running without the ball, the press, like her timing when they press, it's all like, she's just so dangerous. Like she can run in behind, she can play on either side, both feet. And Marco Milanovic saying that she came in, you know, this is the first full season with, AFC Toronto coming over last year from France at the transfer window. And she came in like just sharp, like fitter, quicker.
Yeah.
So I hope it's not a long-term thing for Stratagakis. I hope it's, you know, maybe we'll see her in the next match, hopefully, but, you know, that's a pivotal player for AFC Toronto. And I'm sure they're pleased to have her for a full season.
Yeah. What I'm impressed with is you mentioned a ton of things that I agree with Stratagakis, her technical ability, her ability to read the game, to find those pockets, but it's her timing both in and out of possession. I just think it's impeccable, whether she's helping out with the back press or numbers around the ball, counter pressing, winning the ball in dangerous areas, but it's her ability to make those probing runs and find those seams. And then you have players like Barnett, you know, if she's in that left attacking pocket, or somebody like Small, I think you have Chisholm looking to find those line breaking passes. She is always available. Mm-hmm. And that's something that they are going to miss because she's that creative link. You know, and one of these unicorn type players, that number 10 that just seems to find those spaces naturally, that is a difficult profile to come by in this league. And you mentioned like summer season joined, had an impact, but not the impact that she's having so far through three games. So I hope that the injury, when she kind of gets, I forget who it was, who fell on her off of a cross from Barnett, and it was an awkward fall. And then I think that was when she got injured. So I hope it's not long-term.
Yeah. I love that you said, like, so it's like Sarah Unicorn Stratagakis. No, but there isn't a lot of profile like that.
Nope.
You know, and I know we're big praisers of Nikki Small on the show. And I thought Nikki Small had great spurts in the game on Sunday. It wasn't her complete 90 minutes that we're used to seeing, but I thought she also had a very bright game.
Yep.
And she provides a lot of technical ability, getting out of small spaces. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they do have players that can kind of fill in that role, but I don't know what they're. Yeah.
Yeah. What the solution is there, even though they do have the depth at their disposal. So very quickly for our audio listeners, this is our week 3 best 11. So Anna Karpenko, 3 clean sheets in a row. No surprise that she is in between the sticks from the Montreal Roses. Then our back line from right to left, Kayla Adamek from the Ottawa Rapid, who opened the scoring in that 4-0 win that they had midweek. Lucy Cappadona from the Roses, Jaleesa Harris from the Rapid, and Stephanie Hill kind of rounds out that back line from the Roses as well. Midfield 3 of Chloe Minas of the Roses, Kira Mellenhorst, who we've been talking about in glowing terms, for the Rapid, and Sarah Stratagakis, the aforementioned Stratagakis, for AFC Toronto. And a front 3, this is a pretty potent front line here, of Kaylee Hunter of AFC Toronto, Elise Bennett, who is on 4 goals to lead the Golden Boot race so far, and DB Pridham, the Golden Boot winner from last year, who opened her scoring in emphatic form for the Rapid, getting a brace on the day in their 4-0 win. So that is our 11. And we have to say, this was quite difficult. We only had 2 matches, so you think our job would be easier, but we had a lot of people that we had to argue about, you know, for keeping them in, or some players who didn't get in because they were bumped out by somebody else that I liked Cigna's argument, or vice versa. So was there anybody that we didn't talk about that you want to shout out, or somebody was left off that you want to tip your hat to?
I thought you were talking to our listeners, because I was going to say, won't be offended.
Also,
I won't be offended.
Seriously, at us though, let us know who we left off, or, you know, somebody that you really want to highlight, or a mention of a player that maybe didn't make it this week. Let us know.
Yeah, I think for me, I think one of the ones that we were like maybe half debating here, Amy, was to put Kaylee Hunter in the starting 11. Mm-hmm. I saw enough menace from her this week. I think she was more active than she has been. And the fact that she searches out the ball, she's not just standing up there like waiting for delivery, and she's searching out the ball. She wants the ball. She had that cracker of a half volley that just sailed over the bar. Mm-hmm. I thought she was going to open her account there. It was a really great opportunity.
Dangerous free kick as well, where Carpenter had to be lively off her line.
Just a little, you know, had it just been a hair to the right over the wall, it would have probably gone in. I think she's on the right track. I think from, again, like I was on the AFC Toronto Montreal game. I really, that back line right now that Robert Rossatoyou has, Stephanie Hill, Lucy Cappadona, and Valerie Seto is very, very strong. I think teams are studying that right now, trying to figure out, okay, how can we break this 3 down? How can we break them down? And then, you know, shouts to the players on, you know, coming back and helping out, you know, Megan Sauvé, who's tireless on that team. Should be mentioned that she's had a really good start to the season as well.
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned Sauvé, because I don't think she's been part, maybe week 1, she's maybe part of our best 11, but she's been close, very consistent.
She's been close to cracking it, but I think for me, she's had such, like, in comparison to last season, I think she's been really, really consistent. Megan Sauvé. So maybe I'll give a nod there.
Yeah, I like that. My one that I want to kind of shout out, who didn't get included, who got bumped actually by Sarah Stratagakis, even though she only played about half-ish, was Jung for Ottawa Rapid. I just think, I mentioned off the top how complimentary I think that double pivot is for Ottawa, and Mellenhorst and Jung. And I just think the shuttling, the ground cover, the defensive acumen, shielding that back four, you get a little bit in what you lost in Gibson and Desi Scott in the presence of Jung, and also the game IQ, understanding when to hold, when to offer support, when to rotate in and out. You see a little bit of a pattern of play emerging with the Ottawa Rapid that we saw last year, but it just looks more cohesive now versus that opening game at Wanderers Grounds where they're building with the three. And then sometimes you see one of those double pivots join the back line, and it allows both fullbacks, say in Chu and Adamek, if those are the ones that are selected that are on the pitch, to really fly up and get numbers forward. And I think that Jung has a really great understanding of their philosophy of play and how Katrina Peterson wants them to manage the ball in the buildup. So that is what I wanted to shout out. And then I will just quickly hear. So this is our league standings after week three. So the Montreal Roses are perfect at the top of the table. Three matches played, 9 points, plus 7 goal differential. And then if you compare that, so then it very quickly, Ottawa Rapid in second, the Tides in third, who were idle this week, AFC Toronto in fourth. That might be the lowest they have dropped, Signe Butler, over the course of a season and three games, is it? I don't think they were ever below third last year at the beginning of the year.
No, I think you're right. And I just...
Well, we'll mull that over, and again, correct us if we're wrong. And then Calgary Wild, again, who have struggled to open the season, missing a lot of big pieces. So hopefully they start to get bodies back and they can start to get points on the board, because they are sitting on a goose egg and a -5 goal differential. And Vancouver Rise at the bottom of the table on 3 matches played, -9 goal differential and 0 points for our defending champs. So lots of time to right the ship, but they need to figure it out and quick.
Yes. But yes. I think bodies back for both of those teams will certainly make an impact in the standings.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, I wanted to mention, because I watched this game that you covered, the 1-0 win for the Roses over AFC Toronto at BMO. How about that howler of an own goal by Charlotte Bilbo and how she was beside herself and must have been so relieved that that got called back.
So, yeah. And, you know, we were there. So where we were, it didn't look, it was a very close offside call. I'll just put it that way. Like I, from where we were, because we're up in the booth and we're looking down, I'm not at that. Like, it was basically around the 18-yard box. Or just around.
Yeah, it was right around the penalty spot. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know where Lauren Rowe was. If she was, she was a step offside. Like, it was very, very, very close. Mm-hmm. But Bilbo, like, she slid into it and like was like
and connected. She was purely
confidently thinking that she was clearing the ball away. And I was like, oh my God, right in the corner.
Instead, it was one of the better finishes we've seen on the year, but unfortunately in the wrong goal. So I think she was quite pleased to see that called back for offside.
I think so.
Yeah. I just wanted to mention that, though, because that had an audible reaction. I was riding the bike downstairs while I was watching that match, and I was like, oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. I, like, whenever I have an own, like, see an own goal, like, so my first year of university, I think it was, like, my first home game in university, and I was playing in the back, and I cleared a ball like literally into the top right corner of my own goal. I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm like, goalie at the time, Shelley Whitman, I think I still apologize to her. I'm like, I am so sorry. Like, that was, I think we lost 1-0. Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. That's always the way.
It's always the worst. It's the worst. And that's what you remember. Like, you remember stuff.
Of course.
Like,
oh no, I've scored my fair share of own goals, headers, you know, like just leaping up. And like, that was part of what made me a good player was my aerial prowess. So I scored my fair share. And I also scored again, like on my own team, like own goals. And then I remember one, it wasn't necessarily an own goal, but it was my first pro year playing in the first ever pro league in North America in WUSA. and I turned with the ball, and instead of just passing it back to the goalkeeper, and I think it was a confidence thing. I was like, I need to touch the ball more. I need to be on the ball. So instead of playing simply back to my keeper, I'm like, oh no, I'm going to turn. And I turned right into pressure, gave the ball away. And the forward who came in, who stripped the ball from me, just walked around our goalkeeper and passed it into the net. I was just like, what am I doing? So yeah, so embarrassing. So
Musa, what was your team in there?
I was drafted to the Bay Area Cyber Rays.
Okay.
And then I got dropped because we were on a terrible run of form and I was the international player. And then I got picked up on waivers by the Atlanta Beat.
Fun.
Yeah.
Was there a team in like Clearwater, Florida?
Oh, that is a good question.
Okay. I'm going to have to look this up. I feel like somebody, I've babysat for this family and they were in Florida for vacation and they came back and they brought me a WUSA shirt and I'm almost positive it was in Clearwater, but maybe it was somewhere else in Florida. I'm putting it down as things to look up after the show.
Part of women's soccer lore in North America, circa 2001. Anyway, okay, on that note, 45 minutes in, thanks, Sigs. Always a treat to chat with you about NSL.
We missed our salty friend today. We missed her.
I know.
We have enough verbiage to get us through 45 minutes.
Oh my gosh, I know. And we're kind of putting a pin in this thing, but we could keep going. But dear listener, we'll leave it there. So we reminded you of what's upcoming in week four. So Wednesday night match and then a match on the Saturday, which is on TSN, and then the Monday to kick off week five. So pay attention to that. Contact Diana Matheson on the NSL hotline to find out where you can find the next NSL match.
She legitimately recorded every single match. And she can leave messages as well.
So, yes, and do. Because there are people who are actually maybe not answering, but who are looking at your messages. So if you have anything you want to communicate to the league, obviously positive in nature would be better. Please call the hotline. But on that note, thank you for broadening your horizons with us. Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary, as we do here in the Broads. So cheers for watching and listening, and we will catch you guys with our salty friend and maybe a guest or two next week, whether that's Jess Lisi or friend of the show, WSoccer.ca, AC Lang themselves might join us for an upcoming Broads. So we'll see, but get at us in the comments and then let us know who we forgot, big omissions or anybody that you want to underline their performance for week three. Thanks, everybody.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com to sign up for our newsletter.
Hello. Hello.